Welcome to Renewed by the Word with Pastor Edwin from Redeemer Church, Miami. We are glad you can join us today. Please grab your Bibles as we walk through the Word of God together this morning.
Good morning, church. If you have your Bibles, would you turn with me, please, to Genesis chapter 22? We'll be reading the first 18 verses. If you have your phones and you want to read the Bible that way, that's okay. It'll be behind me here in just one second. For those of you at home, we welcome you into our worship service this morning. Thank you for being with us. Genesis chapter 22, it'll flash on your screens, verses 1 through 18. You can remain seated. I know we typically stand in our church, but with the new kind of schedule and kind of movement that we have with the online, we'll just stay seated. Genesis chapter 22, beginning in verse 1, Word of God. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about." Early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, "Father." "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and the wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring, all the nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me." Let's pray together, church. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can gather on this Sunday morning to focus on one thing, only you. I pray, God, that in this moment, you would clear our minds of the work, of the list, of the worries, that we might understand your word clearly, that you would clear our hearts of the clutter, of the wrestling, of the tension, that we would just focus in on you, and that our souls would be wide open to be fed this morning by your words, not mine. So, Father, fill this place. Thank you for the privilege of being able to raise our voices to you. Pray, God, it would be pleasing to your ear. And now, Father, again, we want to hear your voice and not mine this morning. Speak to us. Fill this place. Be with us here. May we experience you as we experience your word. We pray all these things in the very powerful and precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, church, good morning, and it is good to see so many of you as our church slowly comes back together again on the other side of shutdowns and quarantine and phases, and we continue to encourage you to be safe and be smart and to listen to the authorities. We have to respect them as Christians, and at the same time, get back to living, get back to what we do here on Sunday morning. So we do welcome all of you, and we're glad that you all are here. Well, today, maybe bittersweet, maybe for you, also for me, the end of our Fearless series. If you've been with us throughout, whether live or online, you've walked with us through Noah facing an insurmountable challenge, right? The fearless individual faces these arcs that come into our life, and God says, go for it. right? I am with you. You're walking with me. We will do this. All you have is a saw and a hammer in your hands, but we will accomplish this massive obstacle. Then we looked at Gideon. Gideon here is a man who is hiding in a hole in the ground from the enemies of Israel. And God pulls them out of a hole in the ground and makes them leaders of the armies of Israel. And they have this massive victory over their enemies. He transitioned them from being fearful to fearless. And then we looked at Nehemiah. Here you have Nehemiah, who has led with Ezra the return of Israel from the Babylonian exile, and the temple's being rebuilt and the city's in ruins. And you got to build a wall in the ancient world. You need a wall to protect yourself, to be safe, to be able to have an identity. And here's Nehemiah working tirelessly on the wall, and the enemies of Israel are closing in. And we saw him pray, and we saw him strategize. We saw him take steps, how the fearless character kind of is shaped by God and how it leans on God. And then last week we saw Peter, who was thrown in jail. And I had mentioned to you how you had these three components facing the huge obstacle. You had coming out of a hole in the ground to be fearless, how you have the strategy of it, you know, how God shapes it to then do what Peter did, where he extends himself. He put himself out there to bless another and ends up paying for it, getting thrown in jail. And then we arrive at today, the last chapter, so to speak, of this particular series. We're looking at Abraham. I've given you all these different pieces, but today what we're going to talk about, in a very brief form actually, is the foundation. Where do all these pieces come from? What do they stand on top of? So this is what they stand on top of. These are the building blocks of the fearless character, and we're going to see them in the text this morning. We're going to flash a map for you just here in a second, and let me just walk you up to the text, because if we just read the text, as shocking as it is, you missed some of the power if I don't give you this part here. So for those of you sitting in church, you can see the map on our screens. For those of you at home, you can see it kind of tiny off on the side. Abraham is called from the land of Ur. You see it over here in modern-day Iraq, over on the right-hand side of our screens. And Abraham is called out of everything he knew, his family, his friends, his village, his town where he grew up. And God says, go to a new place that I'm going to show you. So the journey begins. God doesn't tell him where he's going. He just kind of says, well, you're going that way, towards Canaan, more or less. And he is going to receive directions en route. So as he travels through this area, he goes north. And then when he starts to make his way south into modern day Israel, into what was called Canaan, you have a series of events that happen. God makes him this massive promise that through you will be a great nation, that will have a great name, that will have a great land, that will bless others. So the journey continues. His nephew Lot decides to leave the family along the way. His Lot leaves, and Abraham frets a little bit. God pulls him out in the middle of the night. Remember, ancient world, no lights. So the sky is lit up, right, with dots everywhere, beautiful skies. And he says, do you see all the stars? Yes. He says, your descendants will be more than those. And Abraham is silent under the stars. Believes it. Doesn't have to say a word. He believes it. And the Bible says that it was credited to him as righteousness and made him right before God. So some time goes on. And after that, he has to rescue Lot because Lot gets himself in trouble. So he rescues his nephew. There's still no baby for the promise of people. We're still waiting. He rescues his nephew. He frets a little bit more. And then finally, we arrive at this one scene that is just bizarre and really foreign to us, where you have a smoking kind of cooking pot that floats its way through broken animals. It's kind of bloody in the middle. And this was an ancient ceremony of promise. God makes Abraham a promise that he will be broken in half before he does not keep his word to Abraham. And Abraham believes that too. God will keep his word no matter what, because God cannot be broken. Therefore, God must keep his word. But now Abraham is even older. Now he's hitting 99. We still don't have a baby. His name is still Abram, and her name is still Sarai. And then finally, the last of the steps. Abraham, you have to be circumcised at age 99. For the men, you'll understand that a little bit better than the women. That would be very painful, very uncomfortable at that age to do that. But that would be the lasting sign in the flesh that you have entered in to all of these beautiful promises of God, the covenants of God. And it's after that moment that he receives the name Abraham, because now he's a new person. She receives the name Sarah because she's a new person, and now she's pregnant. And now there's a baby on the way finally. And the baby's name is associated with the word laughter in English, because there's joy in what is happening. And so suddenly you arrive at this point. 12, 13, 14 years passed. Little Isaac is now a teenager. The promise is going to happen. Here he is. We're going to raise him. We're going to take care of him. You know, he's going to march forward. And all of a sudden, the last thing that Abraham thought when he went to pray that morning was that God wanted the kid back. After everything you've been to, after that incredibly long journey, after everything you've sacrificed, after everything you suffered, after everything you longed for, after everything you've waited for, God wants the kid back. And there's something to be said about faith here. Faith has its mountaintop moments, but every mountaintop is accompanied by a valley. Now, sometimes the valleys are not always a hard moment. Sometimes the valleys are not always like a sinful moment where we crash and burn. Sometimes the valleys are just tests and trials. God will stretch us, and God will push us, and God will sometimes push us to the limit. All the trajectory of Abraham, all those moments were building up to this one. So don't be surprised when you face a moment such as this. It might seem to you a moment of crisis. It might seem to you a moment of huge change, and it might be. But if you look back, what you're going to realize is that you had all of these smaller hills and mountaintops and valleys that went building and building and building to the big one. And for the Christian, this is the term I want to leave with you this morning. There is always the climb. Remember that. There is always the movement upward. There is always that Moriah mountain where God says, you're going to go to the Moriah region and I'll show you the mountain. There's always the climb. There's always the way up, right? God doesn't deal with us on this level. He lifts us up and he lifts us out. And he takes us to a different place, to a different height, a different kind of air in order for us to operate in. And sometimes the testing can be as simple as learning these two words that we see in James chapter 1. I think we'll show it to you on the screen. James chapter 1 says that our testing and our trials lead to this little word, these two little words that we have a hard time with in our society, perseverance and patience. Don't have patience for anything. We want things to happen now. And we got to understand that sometimes God doesn't work that way. God works slowly, hill after hill, mountain after mountain, to arrive at the big one. That we might learn to persevere, that we might learn to stick it out, that we would learn like Abraham to trust, to look up at a night sky, to listen to a word in prayer and say, yes, Lord, I will trust your word because your word cannot be broken because it's based on your character, which is perfect and unbreakable. I will rest in that. And so that's what our faith sometimes heads towards. That's time what our faith doth. And so here is the promised baby. Here is the test. Here is the display for the entire world to see. We're still talking about him today in the instance of faith and of growth. Give me back your son. So let's talk briefly here for a moment, this first point. Because I entitled the first point, Give Me More. God, when he tests us and when he pushes us, is because he wants more. So church, I ask you this morning, what is your Isaac? What is that one or two or three, maybe four or five areas of your life that you refuse to give to God? What is your Isaac? What won't you put on the altar? Which ones has God been asking you again and again and again? Give me this. I want it. Give me this because you're hanging on to Isaac more than you're hanging on to me. So what are you not putting on the altar? What are you holding back from? What do you keep clinging to? Because let me tell you something, church. God is very persistent, if you haven't noticed, and he will not stop asking. And he will make you climb the mountain again and again until your eyes see what he sees. And when your eyes see what he sees, that this compartment, that this piece of my life is so much better off in your hands than in mine, then you will wonder why you didn't do it sooner. So again, I ask you, church, this morning, what is your Isaac? What won't you give to God? What do you refuse to put on the altar again and again, year after year, month after month, day after day? What is your Isaac, I ask you? Because God is asking for more. And he will not stop asking. And just when you think that you've done all the hills and all the mountains, that your faith has persevered and that you've learned the patience and that, you know, you've kind of deepened it and that you have a bigger understanding of God, he's going to take your understanding of him and he's going to pull it even more open. And he's going to ask you again, but in order for you to see it as I see it, give me this. Will you give him your Isaac? See, because here we run into a very big problem for ourselves. We run into what my faith is demanding versus what I am feeling. And since we live in a feeling culture, our feelings, we've kind of dialed it up. We've kind of raised the volume on our feelings and what we want and how I feel right now. And, you know, what's that? And all of a sudden, our feelings are talking as loud as our faith. And there's a problem in that. Okay, God gave us feelings. It's not a bad thing, but you're not supposed to turn them up that they overwhelm or shout louder than your faith. So typically, the problem with putting something on the altar that you don't want to give to God is because your feelings are screaming, no, we can't give this up. No, we need it. The price is too high. The cost is too high. We're afraid. What is God going to do? What's it going to look like? I don't want the unknown. I like the familiar. The feelings are screaming, but your faith over here is saying, but we need to give it up. But we got to give it back. He's asking for it. He wants more. Give it to him. And so that's the big dilemma that we run into, church. What God asked Abraham to do was something horrific. Because I know that in your minds, you have the picture that, you know, you can Google a million images about this and people keep drawing it. And you have this altar and you have Isaac laying on top of it and you have Abraham. He's got the knife in the sky. Listen, when God says to him, offer him as a burnt sacrifice, the ritual in the area, all the archaeologists and the historians, the people have already figured out that first you have to cut its throat, whatever you're going to sacrifice. After you cut its throat, then you dismember it. After you dismember and you have pieces of something, then you put it on the altar and then you burn the pieces and you do it with your own bare hands. This is what God is asking of Abraham. And you sit back and you say to yourself, has God lost his mind? No. God is pushing him to the edge. God is taking his faith and he's stretching it as far as he could humanly go. And he is saying, will you love me? Will you listen to me? Will you obey me more than this child that I've given you? Will I still keep my place as being first, as being the core, as being the only thing that is in the spotlight of your heart and of your life? Give me my Isaac back. Because in the end, Isaac belongs to God. It didn't belong to Abraham. And most of the stuff that we hold back from God, if you really sit back and think about it, it doesn't belong to you. It belongs to him. And he just wants to make sure that you put it in its proper place, that you will surrender it back to him. So, church, first point this morning, give him more.
Thank you for joining us today on Renewed by the Word. Our desire and hope is that your time in the Word with Pastor Edwin will continue God's renewal in your entire person and life. For more information about Redeemer Church Miami and Pastor Edwin, visit their website, RedeemerChurchMiami.org. That's RedeemerChurchMiami.org. May God bless you richly, and we look forward to being with you next week.